Hello! Hello, welcome to the Penny Mortimes.
Good evening.
Hello, and welcome to the London studios for this week's instalment.
With a bit of an I'm Christopher Brown.
Oh yeah, I'm Paul.
I'm Ariel.
The more episodes we record, the worse we get at the introduction.
Bit of an unusual topic this week. Something that not that we've covered, like an area that we've covered before.
Choo-choo!
We've always been... It's crime related.
It's crime, but it's a different type of crime.
Yes.
Bit off the wall.
I'm a bit nervous about this topic.
Why?
Because it heavily features London gangs.
Oh, right.
And we're in the London studios.
You think we'll be taken out on the way on?
Once word gets out, we could become targets.
Victim of the Brixton Mafia.
Although most of the people involved are probably dead now. So.
Oh, yeah, but they always have connections.
Connections.
Leave the fingers in pies.
I put my finger in a pie once. It was very hot.
I had a pie for my tea. Cheese and onion, bad boy.
Pie mash.
So what are we looking at?
We're looking at the Great Train Robbery.
The Great Train Robbery.
Yeah.
1963.
Do you want me to get into my facts?
Can I say before we started, talking about food, I went to the shop before.
Come on.
Right. I went to a cake shop, getting myself a little treat after my dinner, and they had a massive sign at window saying, all cakes a pound.
Oh. Nearly choked.
I was like, I'll have a bit of that. Went in, like, asked for a cake. £2, she said.
I was like, she
what? All cakes a pound.
I said, 40 for all cakes a pound. She said, yeah, but them are Madeira cakes.
Oh.
Boom, boom.
Get your frigging coat.
Every time I believe him.
Madeira cake. You get it.
Fuck off.
Get bent.
Get bent, exactly. Yes, so here we are. It's the swinging 60s, and it's all very exciting. Is that not pornography?
That is, yeah. But I always just associate that kind of...
I was thinking more like Austin Powers type music. Yeah.
Can you give me what's a bit of...
No.
Benny Hill?
Yeah, not Benny Hill.
I don't know, just... On your iPads at home, play The Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. That'll do. That's a suitable soundtrack. So it's 1963.
Yes.
And London is
swinging,
and people are getting over the sort of the misery of rationing and the war and everything.
London's swinging. Not car keys in a bowl swinging.
No, not that kind of swinging.
But swinging is affluent and miniskirts everywhere.
Ooh.
And knee-high boots.
Oh, aye.
Miniskirts?
Yeah. I just said that.
Yep.
I weren't listening. I was thinking. I can't do two things at once.
Shit haircuts.
Beehives.
Beehives.
Precisely.
Bonnet. No, not bonnets.
No. Hobnail boots. No, not hobnail boots. So we've successfully...
Platforms.
That's 70s again. You're about 10 years out.
Flower power.
Mods.
Flower power. Mods. Rockers.
Mods and rockers.
That kind of thing going on, generally.
So now you know what the 60s is.
Yeah. Yes, so it's the... Yeah, I think I've said this. It's 1963.
Yes.
And there's... lots of gangs in London, in the East End, like the Crays and the Richardsons.
Apples and pears.
Oh, he's off again. I apologise, listeners.
Have you met Stanley? No, no, Scouts or something.
Yeah. And anyway, a bright spark comes up with a great idea to rob a train.
Aye.
But the guy who comes up with the idea to rob a train, he is... Well, he's just a clerk on... I think he's a clerk on a train. I don't really know.
Oh, so he's an inside... It's an inside job?
Well, it's inside information, yeah.
A good robbery's got to have an inside man, hasn't it?
Well, what this guy knew...
You need intel.
What this guy knew is that the train that went from Glasgow to London...
Choo-choo!
And it collected all the money from all the banks... Well, not all the banks, but a lot of banks on the way down. And he knew this guy that
had... Redirected it.
Shitloads of money and very little protection.
Can we have a bit more detail on shitloads of money?
Well, it turns out that when they robbed it, they got, I think it was £2.5 million... In 1963,
fucking hell,
which is about the equivalent to £48 to £50 million today.
But there was only more because the preceding weekend to this train's journey was the bank holiday, so there were like loads more money than normal.
Yeah.
So how much would it usually carry? Like half of that much?
It would not. Yeah. Like,
not usually that much, but
a bit less. Like.
So we've got a train packed full of banknotes.
Yeah. Loads of coins.
Busting at the seams.
And what seems to be the thing was that it was because...
Like a Japanese underground train, but...
No, you know, like when...
Full of £10 notes.
Like, you think something's too obvious
Fivers.
To be real.
Fivers.
It's like, they thought, well, people won't rob it because they just...
Bank holiday! Everyone's gone to Avon and Butlins.
They just thought no one would think that we'd be that stupid to put millions of pounds on a train with not any guards and stuff.
But we were.
But that's what they did. So this guy who knew it, he was... No one knew his identity. But he was... He went by the name of the Ulsterman.
The Ulster? Is he Irish?
Well, yeah. He came from Belfast.
He was called Patrick McKenna, but they called
Patrick McKenna.
They called him the Ulsterman because of a nickname.
Because
he
was
from when he were a kid. Yeah, basically because he were a potato picker.
So this guy comes and he goes to London. But he doesn't like. He's got this great idea to rob a train.
Has he got like any criminal past? Nope. Is he going to be on this train?
No, he's not on the train.
He's
during
devised
the robbery.
The plan.
He works for, I think, the post office.
Basically, he knows all this money's going
on. And he
on
knows
the train.
Yeah. This train. He knows there's all this money on it. He knows there's very little protection. And he knows there's a good.
So then he goes down
to
London, going around a few pubs. Know any bad lads?
Yeah, exactly.
Know any bad lads?
Yeah.
Putting the word out.
Yeah.
On looking for some accomplices.
It's basically a case of he's got the brains. They've not got the money yet, but they've got like alt knives.
And he says to him,
knives and contacts.
Alt bad stuff.
He just says, Luke, right, I want an equal share. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be part of the robbery or anything, but I'll give you the information and we'll split it. And so he sort of goes around and he offers it to a few different gangs. And he's struggling to get interest, really.
Sit down. All right, listen. Listen, lads, I've got an idea. There's a shitload of money on a train. We're going to rob it. Right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what anything else, how are we going to do? There's just a load of money on a train.
That's pretty. I think, though, he targeted the right people that had quite a criminal past.
Yeah, he wasn't just
asking.
There
were people
anyone.
That were like very inclined.
You know any robbers around here? Know any robbers around here?
But like they were more inclined to say, yeah, of course I will, Ulsterman. Let's go and rob that train.
So, yeah, he asked a few people and then eventually he got in touch with what was to become the great train robbing gang. And they were called the Southwest Gang.
Ooh, sound pretty cutthroat.
The South.
Sound a bit.
I'm assuming that's because they're from the Southwest of this
I
great city.
So.
I've got another
did
one
they
here
have,
as well.
Did they have a rapper amongst them?
No, this was before.
Well, that's why this is quite apt, because they also had another name called the South Coast Raiders.
Really? So warriors? Did they wear, like, costumes?
No, they just, like, wore normal clothes. Yeah, because there was two gangs that...
They just wore normal clothes.
Yeah, but they don't go around advertising that they're fucking gangsters, do they?
What, they don't paint their faces like baseballers? And...
No, they don't wear baseball uniforms and caps. And they don't have big chains with dollar signs on and loads of bling. They were just people. I suppose you might notice them.
What about like stripy jumpers and
swag?
Face masks and swag bags.
Yeah, that was exactly it.
Balaclavas.
They might have had a sharp suit. Right,
yeah, because you've got to think they're quite. They've got a criminal past, so they've already acquired quite a lot of coin.
A bit of cash. Yeah.
They're already quite comfortable, so.
So in the end, two gangs sort of merge. It's like Oriel said, the South Coast Raiders and the South West Gang, whatever.
They made a few.
They become a super
they merge,
gang.
They merge on transfer deadline day.
Yeah.
I wonder if the South Coast Raider was of any influence to that Wealdstone Raider.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
that little map that's starting on loads of football fans.
And what does he say?
You got my fan.
He's a dickhead.
He's so annoying. I could kill him.
Oh, I like you. I like the Wealdstone Raider.
He was just obnoxious. He made my blood boil.
No, because I heard him be interviewed. And because he was like a little scrawny rat man. They were all picking on him for ages, and the more bladdered he got, the more angry he got.
Is that actually the truth? I didn't know the context.
And then, since he got famous for that, he released a song that did quite well, and he gave all the proceeds to charity.
Aww.
So he's a nice little rat man.
I feel awful now.
Yeah, see, you don't know the whole facts.
Sorry, Wealdstone, if you're listening.
Right.
Anyway.
So
these two teams merged.
They merged, and
two hardcore London gangs.
There was like about.
Are they like proper gangs?
Yeah, like gangsters.
Like craze, like wanting like.
They've got connections.
Like protection money and stuff. Like.
Yeah, so they were like, I suppose the two big gangs in London were the Craze and the Richardsons.
Scars and stuff.
And then slightly just under that very top level then.
So these aren't the big boys, but.
They're big enough.
They're catching up.
You won't mess with them.
You won't mess. Well, before they did the Great Train Robbery, they robbed all the wages from Heathrow Airport.
Bloody hell.
They did the bank, didn't they? Or they did a bank job.
They've done big jobs. They did airport wages.
Do they not?
No.
But what they've not got is they've not got that marquee robbery, you know, that real big, we don't have to. Because they're all sort of holding down. Professions as well, you know, like to sort of because they're not making enough money through crime.
What kind of profession? Like a plasterer or something?
Well, kind of. You've got.
Well, they can't be that bloody biggie, Billy Big Times if they're bloody plastering at weekends.
Listen, right? They're doing the best.
All right.
They're doing the best.
You can't be plastering a bathroom in a sharp suit. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Listen, you can't be an armed robber full time if you're not making enough money, can you?
Well,
so you like you do a bit of a job, and then you've got to maintain a veneer of respectability until you do your next job.
All right.
So, just to give you an example of some of the occupations.
Yes.
And also to give you some names of the main protagonists. Because this gang was like, I think it was about 18 people in it. And we don't want to know really all that. There's way too many.
No, we've got some main guys.
No, so there's some main players.
So the main guys, I think. Like, there's two, like, head honchos. So there's Bruce Reynolds and Gordon Goody. And they're, like, the main two, the leader and the planner and,
no relation to Bert.
To Bert Reynolds? No.
Okay.
Sadly not. yes.
So what were their jobs? Or were they full-time gangsters?
No, Gordon Goody was a hairdresser. He could give you a very nice short back and sides. And he always asked if you wanted
the most masculine of all jobs. I wouldn't let him give me a bloody cut front shave.
He were good at blue rinses.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, are you going on holiday? We're trying to organise a bloody robbery here, John. Shut up, mate. Bloody holidays.
I can't find. I've not wrote it down. What Bruce Reynolds?
We're doing this robbery.
Oh no, he was.
We're going to meet. Are we going anywhere nice? Are we going anywhere nice?
Shut up. Bruce Reynolds had a bric-a-brac shop.
What? These jeans.
Buster Edwards, florist.
Oh, fuck off! You're bullshitting.
Number one, Charlie Wilson, greengrocer.
I was expecting, like, I don't know.
All right,
like,
then.
Boxer or, like...
Roy James.
Bricklayer.
Roy James, Formula 3 motor car driver.
Oh.
That better?
Still not very gangsterish, is it?
Tommy Wisby.
I was expecting, like...
Bucky.
Yeah, Bucky, no, that's kind of that's a gangster's job.
Yeah, that's already
But Florist, wanted. Come on.
Ronnie Biggs. Builder. Badden's.
See, that's what I was expecting. Builders and I don't know.
Lads.
Yeah.
Fades.
Bouncers.
What's wrong with... No, bouncers are like muscle heads, aren't they?
Meathead.
Sorry, all bouncers out there. Don't beat me up.
Muscle heads.
Don't come and beat me up.
Muscle heads.
What other kind of... What are gangsterish jobs like? Drivers. Maybe not drivers.
Getaway driver.
Yeah.
But that's like not a job. That's
taxi drivers.
Debt collectors and stuff like that. Or they're just the meat and these are the...
These are just... I don't know who they are. They're just people.
So, well, next time you get your missus a bouquet of flowers, just think... What's going on behind that shop counter? Watch your wallet.
And Bruce Reynolds, let's call him the top guy. He fancied himself as well. He was a bit of a dandy. He liked his sharp suits and liked his money. Fancied himself as a.
Is he the hairdresser?
As a full time crim. No, he's the bric-a-brac shop owner.
No fucking wonder he wanted to rob a plane. As well as a train.
There's no money in pocket watches.
No.
So, there you have it. That's the gang. Don't fuck with them, because they'll fuck you out.
Yeah, don't fuck with a florist, the shop owner and the hairdresser.
Oh, and top that greengrocer, Jesus.
Oh, hang on, there's another one here. Leonard Field, ballet dancer.
Piss off. Yeah, all right. Carrots. So, right, go on. So, that somebody has a bright idea of holding up a train.
Yes.
With 40, how much million?
It would have been about 50-odd million, wouldn't it, in these days?
Money. Another bright idea.
So, it's a lorry coin.
A lot of dough. A lot of lolly.
A lot of cheese.
So, what they have to do, now they've got the gang, they have to work out a plan on how to stop the train, how to get the money and... You know, that kind of general logistics. So they get the team together and they're planning it all out. So they find this spot where they're going to rob it. And it's just on a bridge and it's right in the countryside. Right. So it's quiet.
It's very remote.
Yeah, there's no police around or, you know, like very...
No one to interfere.
It's like in the Buckinghamshire countryside.
Oakley. Mm. It's near a place called Oakley.
Thanks, Oriel, you've got me out of a ditch there. And
So they pick the point.
So they pick the point and then...
Presumably because it's quiet.
Yeah.
Then they need a plan. And what happens is that the South Coast Raiders, they'd already knocked off a couple of trains previously.
And, so they had a bit of experience.
Yeah, and the experience they had, though, they'd fucked it up a couple of times. Because, like, they got on the train and
set off.
They'd, like, pulled the emergency brakes and stuff like that. And then the train had come to a stop 2 or 3 miles down the track past where the rest of the gang were waiting to rob it.
More pigs.
So they needed to come up with a way of...
stopping it immediately.
Stopping the train at a point where they wanted to stop it.
Put some leaves on track, it seems, for one of these days.
Well, they got a technical expert in to help them with this. And so the plan was, we'll get this technical expert in and he'll be able to stop the train. And do you know what he did?
What did he do?
To stop the train.
It's quite easy, really, isn't it?
You know when they've got, like, green and red lights and green means go and red means stop?
Yeah, traffic lights.
Yeah, but on the train tracks. Yeah. He got a glove and put it over the green light and then he hot-wired the red light to a battery.
Ah, so it just come on.
And then, lo and behold, the train stops exactly where you want it to stop.
Bloody hell. 3 years at electronics college for put a glove on a light.
Yeah.
Be a technical expert.
Technical expert.
This gent we call Roger Corduroy. Just for reference. loved his jeans.
So that was how they were going to stop the train. But just in case it fucked up, because this was a big job and it was taking a lot of planning, they got Ronnie Biggs, who everyone thinks was this great train robber.
Yeah.
He was just a bit of a plant pot, really. He was a bit of a divvy. but he happened to know...
With Ronnie Biggs, I always think it's like the... Guy Fawkes effect. You know, he's not the main man, but he gets all the he gets the limelight.
He gets all the limelight because he was the one who was on the run for 30 odd years. But of the actual gang who did it, he was like very low level in the gang, very low status, and his job really was to
make him bruise.
Well, he knew someone who was an old train driver.
Oh, hey-o. Fat controller.
So they got. So Ronnie's job was to get the train driver onto the footplate during the crime, and if they needed to move the train on at all or anything like that, that's what he would do. You know, he was in charge because this guy, he was a bit of an old timer. He was like a retired train driver.
Bit of a diverer.
So it was his job to shepherd him onto the.
He would just lift him up because he'd have a bag.
He was basically a cur in the community.
He'd been riding on the special bus.
He was.
So,
you know,
what, so Ronnie Briggs was at his job Biggs. To.
Who's that?
Not
Johnny Briggs.
Was it his job to just locate the train driver?
Well, he knew this train driver. Right. That's what got him on the job. And then it was his job was to look after the train driver during the robbery.
Yeah.
That goes horribly wrong, though. When
so he would just appear. Yeah.
That goes really wrong when he twats the train driver with a cosh. Does anyone know what a cosh is? Any ideas?
It's just like a.
It's in every bar.
All right.
Yeah.
Heavy, yeah, like a baton.
A baton.
Not one for relays. Them like metal shitty ones. I think this one's got a bit of weight behind it.
Bit of alley.
Well, it's funny you should say, do you know what a cosh is? Because when I used to work in a pub behind the bar and they used to have bouncers on, there was this bouncer called Billy the Bouncer.
Billy Big Time.
And he was very friendly, but he was also a Fruit Loop. And he used to have his inside, you know, in his bouncer coat.
Yeah.
He had this extendable cosh. And it was about the size of your palm.
Yeah.
But then when you flicked it, it went out about half a metre and had a big lead weighting end.
Yeah.
And if it ever kicked off, he'd just get his cosh out, flick it and smack him over the head.
Get out. Yeah. Not just like a pointing stick.
No, it weren't for doing PowerPoint.
What
did
you were going to say?
From my in-depth research on the cosh, it was another name for it is also the nightstick.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, so watch it.
Sex toys, then.
Nightstick. It's the first thing I thought. Going home, having a night with my nightstick. Romantic evening in.
Got two glasses of wine.
So
I'll be having both.
So the other thing they do in preparation of the robbery is they cut the phone wires. And again, I always think crime was a lot easier in the past.
Yeah.
It's like there's no CCTV, there's no satellite tracking on the train, there's no mobile phones, there's no Wi-Fi, internet. You know, basically, if you just cut a couple of wires that are very easily accessible.
I feel sorry for Sketch, you know, the artist impression guys, because that's a dying business, isn't it, with all this CCTV.
Oh, have you seen this robber? What did he look like? They're out of work now.
They're all on bloody. Right, they're all in Costa Brava sat on.
I know, but have you.
Sat on the beach
have
doing
you seen that on Crime Watch where it says, do you know who this man is? And then the frozen CCT image just looks like a blur.
Yeah.
It was like, how can you decipher a face out of that?
A swirl in a cap.
Exactly. Or a balaclava.
Yeah, and then they have them,
have you seen this man? He's wearing a balaclava.
Like them photo-fit things where you've got like someone who's got a brown forehead and a white chin.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's Michael Jackson. No, I haven't.
Guess who?
Yeah, so it the scene's set. They've...
Right, so the where are we now? They've put the glove on the traffic lights.
Just hang on a minute.
They've cut the phone lines. I'm taking it just in case anybody.
Well,
they've got a phone nearby. That's good forward thinking.
And then what they do, what they decide is they'll rather than rob the train and flee,
which is what would be expected.
They're going to make a base. So. They get someone, I don't know, a fixer, a friend, who's in the gang, and he secures a farm for them. and that's going to be the hideout. And I think it's called Leather Slade.
Leather Slade Farm, yeah.
Leather Slade
Where does the money come from to buy this farm?
Well, they've got a bit of money, haven't they?
So, like, they've planned it thoroughly and they thought that's the ideal place.
One thing I was reading out, there's rumours that, obviously he denies them, but that Bernie Ecclestone put some money in his youth.
Oh, right. I did see somewhere that he had a connection.
Yeah, because he had connections.
Oh, no, he did. He had that guy called Roy James, who was the Formula 3
driver.
After this whole thing's over and he's been in prison, he comes out of prison and he tries to resurrect his racing career and he's not good enough anymore. He's, like, got too old or something. Bernie Ecclestone gives him a job.
A lot of time in that little cell.
Yeah. Bernie Ecclestone gives him a job. So you're right, Bernie Ecclestone is around this kind
loosely
of area.
Loosely connected.
So they get this Leather Slade farm and then they pack it full of food. So they've got loads of, like, basically, provisions. So they could hunker down till the heat goes off.
Yeah.
And then they
so how far away is it from, like, the where they're going
to... It's 27 miles. So far enough away to be... Not obviously the
it's
police.
It's about 30 minutes fast car drive.
So the police aren't going to stumble onto it. Yeah. But it's far enough. It's near enough
that they can make a quick getaway.
Get the trucks in the barns. Shut it all down. Nice and quiet. Jobs are good. Mm. So,
do you reckon they had like old farmer woman fancy dress just in case the police do come and knock him.
Maybe they did.
Oh, I don't know. I ain't seen them.
Or maybe you've just found an opportunity to cross dress.
I ain't seen anyone round here alone.
Dressed up as pantomime cow.
Why would?
Yeah.
Why would a lord?
Bell. I'll tell you what, we're at an even split with loot.
Yeah.
So, these lads who are like just going to estate agents and finding a bloody.
But the jobs, if you'd bothered to do any research at all, you would know.
Well, Billy Briggs holding this guy's walking stick.
Yeah, but he has other jobs there as well.
What about, compared to the guy with the bloody cosh and all that stuff, you know, they've got to...
No, they have other jobs in the thing. It's not just buy a farmhouse. Just give someone £150,000.
To buy a farmhouse.
For buying a farmhouse for you. Shut up. So, just before dawn, on the 8th of August...
My birthday.
1963.
Hey.
We'll have to have some celebrations. And the time is right.
on my birthday.
The train is... It's just after dawn on the 8th of August. I'm sure I said that. And... The train is approaching.
Choo choo!
When he sees a red light and sees us crossing.
Down the track, coming. Red light, stop. Whoa, brakes, brakes.
So he puts the brakes on.
And this guy, I'm a bit confused here. Is the train driver, is he called Jack Mills?
He is called Jack Mills.
Right, and then. Right, yeah, that's fine.
He's the train driver. So, as he should, stops it because there's a red light, which could mean there's another train coming or whatever. And his mate, fireman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His mate.
His mate, yeah. His like, driver's mate.
Second on.
Like when you used to get, like, somebody stood with bus driver at front of bus.
No, that's a conductor.
No.
Oh, no, that's a moitherer.
You used to always get, a kid or something stood next to
a driver, not a driver's mate.
Yeah.
No, this is a driver's mate in the professional sense.
Right, okay.
Not as in a moitherer on a bus.
What kind of train is it? It's not steam, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Overnight haulage thing.
I don't know. It could have been a
coal shuttle.
If it was 63, I reckon there would have been a steam.
It was a steam train, Christopher.
Okay.
It's a steam train. Let's call it a steam train.
And then they come. Then is this when all the bandits come out on their horses?
Just shut
downside
up.
Downside the train.
It's down the Wild West. Jumping
outside with their axes.
Maybe that's what happened.
It's what should have happened.
But maybe it wasn't what happened.
Okay. So what are they all like? Waiting in the bushes, ready for this to.
Well, if you let me tell you. So the bloke gets down off his off the foot plate.
Bloody hell, what's going on
and
here?
He goes to ring up to find out why this signal's on.
Cut wire.
But when he gets to the phone, the wires have been cut.
This is David Whitby, isn't it?
Correct.
He's the guy that goes to ring and he, yeah. he suddenly... Yeah. Ah, David.
So then all of a sudden the gang jump on him. And get him from behind.
And then...
Excuse me, they don't bum him.
Oh. Bit of old school buggery is always involved.
There's no buggery at this point. And then they jump up onto the footplate and get Jack Mills, the driver.
Oi, get
it! And then, now, they give him a bit of a fucking going over, really.
Yeah. Bit heavy, bit too heavy.
He was nearly 60. Oh. And they twat
his head right
in.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was a cosh.
And they whack him, and he's... Not dead, but he's knocked out.
Out cold. Out for meet KO.
Yeah. So then, they think, right then, now they're on, they have to head for the HVP carriage.
Oh, so they're now going to drive the train? Yeah, that's why they brought the train. Yeah. Train driver.
Yeah, but what happens
with his Zimmer.
they bring the train driver, and he gets on, and he doesn't know how to drive the train.
Fucking hell, Briggs.
It's a different
who's this
car
guy?
Train he's used to driving.
Oh, no, electric train I've got on a...
Oh, because he was an old guy
who'd
retired, and they brought him, and this was a newer type of locomotive.
Right.
And he looked at it, and he was like, can't work it.
It was on
Well, it's their own stupid fault for bloody coshing... driver, because they could have just got him driving.
They could have just said, Luke, if you don't drive this fucking train,
cosh
you. You're going to get a cosh around the head.
But it's too late then, so they all twatted him over the head. But luckily...
All right. You haven't told us that yet.
Go on, carry on.
I weren't listening again.
Luckily,
the train wasn't too far, or the HVP carriage, the high value package.
Oh,
check me out. I've got the lingo.
I've got one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Bet you have.
We still weeping. The HVP carriage was not too far away from where the van was. Where
so they were just going to handball it.
So they had to handball it. So at that
now, how did they do this? Did they get a sack and run, or did they perform a chain?
Chain, I think.
It was
chain gang.
Yeah, it was a chain.
But you know what you have to appreciate these lads did? They moved 2.5 tons of money. That's how much it weighed in total, what they robbed.
And bearing in mind, it were all pretty much like £5 notes.
Pound coins.
They robbed 2.5 million quid in 10 shilling notes, £1 notes, £5 notes.
So you've got to think that now that's 48 million today in that, like, in them
in
amounts
low
of money.
Denomination
in fives.
Notes.
So to do that in what they did it in like half an hour
they set.
That's impressive.
Didn't there nobody missing this train at this point?
Well, no, because...
Well, yeah, I suppose it's rail service, isn't
it's
it?
Overnight.
Who misses half an hour at rail service?
It's overnight, it just runs. There's no phone, there's no thing.
They've no radio either, because before, like, they introduced radio to the railway in that at that time, but then they thought, oh, we won't bother with this.
We'll not bother today, bank holiday.
Yeah, won't bother.
Won't bother with it. The most expensive train in the whole wide world.
No, but that's why they didn't use the radios, actually, because they were too expensive, ironically.
Cost them a bit more than that.
I know.
Yeah, so they handball all this money down, 30 minutes.
To me.
Lob it all in, and then they
They couldn't have got it all in one.
No, they had one truck and two Land Rovers.
Austin Lordstar
and a Ford Fiesta.
Yeah.
Which seats down.
Ford Cat.
Yeah. You're going to have to put this one on your lap.
Is there any room in boot?
But the thing is...
That's Murtagh around.
It's quite interesting, is that after... Whilst this...
Who brought a Lilo, for fuck's sake? Chuck that out!
I think I might have told you this before, going off on point. When me and my mum went camping with this woman who my mum felt really sorry for, she'd just split up from her husband, blah, blah, blah. So she were a bit down in the dumps, this woman. We decided to go camping with her in the lakes. we got this woman had brought a DVD player and a telly to go camping.
What are you talking about getting away from it all?
And she brought the DVD, Happy Feet.
The lazy chair.
What did she plug it into?
She had a generator.
But a generator! But they also start turning up. Well, she got Happy Feet, no bloody talking.
It was some form of generator, but like, I remember just thinking, fuck me.
Excited canvas. So relaxing. So peaceful on the campsite.
I know, half a campsite fucking moaning about Happy Feet theme tune.
I'll try to get away from it all.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, go on. This, what have they done? Well, they've robbed a train. Go on.
Yeah. So they put all the loot in and then they drive off to Leverslade Farm. Hooray! Hooray! It's a big success. So they get back.
Yeah.
They park the Land Rovers.
And break turn into car park.
They bring all the
Brands
money.
Hatch.
All the money comes into the farmhouse.
Wagons in the garage.
Yeah, so everything out of sight. And that's
quick,
it.
Put cow's costume on.
Yeah, cow's costume on. Big chicken.
Farmer's wife with a beard.
You're obsessed with this cross-dressing. You keep bringing this up.
Half of them have anyway.
I know.
So they're all sat there in the house dressed as farm animals.
Yes. And then that's it.
They've done it.
By the time they're successful.
So what's the plan now? Just wait it out.
Wait it out.
I was reading a thing, didn't they?
Have you had some speed?
Wait it out.
Have you?
I was reading that they chucked all Scottish notes on fire.
Oh yeah, they weren't happy about
that. We don't want that shit.
No, they weren't happy about Scottish money.
I suppose when you're surrounded Irish by 40 odd million, then it's what's a few bloody Scotch bonnets?
Is bonnet a running theme tonight?
What is a Scotch bonnet?
It's a chilli.
It's a chilli, isn't it?
Yeah, the bonnet you were referring to earlier is a hat that people wore in the 1800s.
Yeah, not the 60s.
So they're just all happy. Hooray! And they've got a police radio. So they can listen in to all the police traffic.
The CB. Rusty nail. Well, have you seen, what's that film? Candy cane. Bring some pink champagne. This is Rusty Nail. Roadkill, I think it was called.
Oh, I don't know it.
But they kill them anyway.
Well, they had radios.
That's CB radio, so they could listen in
Oscar
to the police.
Romeo, Delta.
Charlie Foxtrot, Tango Banana.
So they know that what's going to happen. They're almost one step ahead of the police,
right?
So they think, well, we can just sit it out, we'll wait for the heat to go, and then we'll be fine and we'll make our way back down to London.
TV, they got TV.
No
TV.
Well, what they have got is Monopoly.
I should have brought a DVD player and a generator.
Yeah, that's what our family friends did, and they had a great time.
They've got Monopoly. So they play Monopoly with real money.
Well, that's a good idea.
That's fun.
How much Mayfair cost a few quid?
Yeah. So they...
How many of them went to jail?
Hey! Most of them. You must not pass go. So they're all happy in the little house, and then... they're listening to the police radio, and then the police think, what could they have done? Because we've not seen hide nor hair of these criminals.
Yeah.
Where could they be? So they decide to use a dragnet.
A dragnet?
Scenario.
Fishing?
Well, what they mean is they pick a radius at 30 miles from the scene of the crime.
Ah, yeah.
And they're going to sweep through it like a net.
Quick, get your checking outfit on. They're coming.
Yeah.
And do you know what's really unlucky?
What? They were just within the...
Is that Leatherslade Farm was only 27 miles away from the scene of the crime.
So it was in... It was
so just
in...
So it was a 30-mile radius. Mm.
Yeah, so it was just inside the dragnet. But they knew it was coming. Because they'd been listening to the radio
CB.
Transmissions. So... The net starts to close.
So, they knew. How long had they been there in the house at this point?
A couple of days. They had a couple of days, and then they started to get nervous that the police were getting nearer, and they'd planned to stay until the following Sunday, and I know that's meaningless because I don't know what day it is at the minute. But they brought forward the plan by 2 days.
Right.
So they started.
So were they all going to? Were they then just going to leave in dribs and drabs?
Yeah, I don't think they were going to do it en masse, were they? Because no, they hadn't been too often.
I think it was actually looking at my notes. I think it was about 4 days after they robbed the train.
Yeah.
That they left the farmhouse, right. And that was much
so I bet
sooner.
They were getting a bit heated then, you know.
Mm. But it's much sooner than they'd anticipated. But because they knew the police were coming, they had to do it. So they divvied up all the money, and then they started to wipe everything down.
One for me, one for you.
Because they were supposed to have, they were supposed to wear the gloves all the time. Because really, the only.
Yeah, but it's not very feasible, that, is it? You know, there's certain things that you can't wear gloves for all the time, isn't there?
I know, but if it was the friction difference there, between going to prison or going living the life of Riley, then you'd be more inclined to keep your gloves on, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because that's what fucks them in the end. Because there's no evidence, up until now, there's no evidence for the police to go off. The only evidence...
Probably Biggs's fault. He probably brought mittens instead of gloves. He fucked everything else up.
I know.
The only evidence that they would have, because there's no like CSI, or there is, but it's shit because it's olden days. So they only have his fingerprints. There's no like finding bits of fibres and all that jazz.
Yeah.
It's good old fingerprint dusting, and that's it. So they'd start doing a big wipe down, and then like they sort of drift off. You're giggling at a big wipe down.
Better doing just burning house down.
Well, Christopher,
it's funny you mention that.
What happens is they get away from the farmhouse before the police come, but then some of the gang are nervous about if they've done a good enough job.
Yeah.
So they pay a guy whose name is Mark.
We need it spick and span, Mark.
And all
bloody spotless.
All he's known as is Mark, that's his
name.
Oh,
that's it.
So they pay this guy called Mark to go and burn it down. They pay him to burn it down, and they pay him £10,000
to start a fire
to burn it down. So to get rid of all the evidence, and do you know what he does?
Fucks it up.
Fucks off with money.
Does it?
Yeah, he does a runner. So he doesn't burn it down. So then they find out that he's done a fucking runner. So then some of the gang are going to go back. To burn it down, but the police are already on the scene by that point, so they can't burn it down, and this is where it all starts to fall apart.
Shit, it's the fan.
So the police dust it all down, and then, I mean, these guys, as we said at the start, they're all criminals. Most of them have done a bit of bird.
So they're
on record. They're on record. Fingerprints are on record. Yeah. And there was one of them, and I think it might have even been Ronnie Biggs. Although it might not have been Ronnie Biggs, so I might be doing...
He's your own fuck-up.
I might
Biggs.
Be doing him a disservice.
Yeah.
But there was one guy who liked cats.
Oh.
And he gave this cat, this farm cat, he'd give it some tuna, and he'd left his fingerprint on the saucer that he'd give the cat the tuna with.
You can't stroke a cat with gloves on, can
so
you?
So he got fucked you over because effect. He loves cats.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what happened.
And then, yeah, that's it.
The cat
that's
the
end of the story. No, I'm only joking. So they start picking them up. So they go on the run, and some of them are on the run for quite a few years.
So like, when they've got the fingerprints, do they know? I take it they don't know who all the gang are, do they?
No, but they are, it's all like.
But then, do they crack a couple? You
it's
know,
like associates, and you know,
yeah.
You know, if you know someone who you know they hang around with someone and. All that business. Yeah, so what I forgot to mention was as well, is because this crime had taken place in Buckinghamshire.
Yes.
Then it was the Buckinghamshire Constabulary's job to discover who had committed the crime. So for the first couple of days, You've got like these like Dixon of Dock Green type village policemen sort of like looking a bit flustered.
Yeah. Oh, we never had it like this before.
Exactly like that. Basically, fucking clueless.
Yeah.
What the fuck has just happened? But because of the...
So you don't bring like CID in?
Well, no, what happens is because of the pressure of from the government and from the post office and the establishment, because it's such a large sum of money, they want these people caught.
Yes.
They get the flying squad to take over the investigation. So the Metropolitan's finest, the Sweeney Todd, come down to take over. And this is headed up by Tommy Butler.
Tommy Butler, the seems like a dance player.
Well, he's this Tommy Butler, he's...
is he an old-school copper? Takes no nonsense.
No, he's...
He's not. Don't tell me he's a flower arranger outside.
No. He's a shrewd tactician. And some of the train robbers describe him as being a villain in uniform, because they all thought he thought like a villain. He had the mind of a villain, even though he was a policeman. He really understood the criminal mind. And basically, he had a really good reputation for arresting people very quickly, and he had a couple of nicknames. One of them was One Day Tommy, because he'd get people arrested within a day of taking over the case.
The implications of that name.
This like kind of sounds like they're like the police are a gang as well, kind of.
In the 60s, everyone had like nicknames. They were all
bloody bent, weren't they?
Eightball Jimmy and
bloody. Oh, full of backhanders.
And his other nickname was the Grey Fox. Because he had grey hair and he was shrewd.
Well, there you go. I wonder how long it took him to go with that one.
But I mean, I could have come up with some better nicknames for him. Because the reason he was such a good detective is because he still lived at home with his mum.
Oh, is that what it is?
So he was
the loner. So,
the saddo. Yeah. The fucking jobs were.
The frequent wanker. Yeah.
You know, he didn't have anything.
For nothing.
He had nothing to live for, did he? You know, other than his job, which. It was good for the police, but it was bad for the...
liberal love.
Bad for the crims. So he takes over. And, I mean, it's not all bang, bang, bang. Because, like, Bruce Reynolds, he was on the run for 4 years. So he only actually got arrested in 68. And
that's the mastermind, isn't it?
He was the mastermind.
So once they've all done a runner and, like, they're all being picked up, what, do they all go different ways? Like...
Yeah, so they all spread, and some of them go back to the families, some of them go off and try and disappear. So, like, Ronnie Biggs, he ends up... Well, he gets arrested, but then after he escapes again, he goes to Australia.
It makes me laugh, right? Because he's, like, the great train robber. Like, you know, because he was, like, when he died, it was, like, the great train robber. Well, fucking... Not so great trip, because he did one train robbery and he got fucking caught. So, you know.
And the one job he did have, he was ordered back to the back carriages, weren't he?
Yeah.
Because he was shite.
Yeah. So.
How did he break out of prison?
Spoon.
We'll get to that. Spoon. We'll get to that, dear. So.
Spoon.
So, yeah. So, looking at it in a sort of a bit more. Some of these names you've not heard because we haven't mentioned them, but the first guy to get... Oh, no, we have mentioned him. Was the first one to be arrested was Roger Cordray.
He's the one that tampered with the lights.
The glove man. Magic glove.
Magic glove, magic jeans.
And he was he was arrested in Bournemouth, living above a florist shop.
They're all at it. Bloody pansies.
So then he was the first one, and then through him they managed to track down some of the others, and sort of eight of the members were arrested quite close after the robbery. So by the end of 1963, I think they had nine.
So they get a couple, and then by association...
I mean, there's not a lot of... there is a lot of detail, but I haven't bothered looking into it, because basically they all get arrested one after the other.
So then we've got the trial. The trial in 1964, following the arrest of all these blokes.
Now, I know a little bit about the trial. Well, this, that they because it was, there was quite a lot of media frenzy behind it all with it, because the biggest trade, the biggest heist of all time and stuff. So they had to come down hard on these blokes, didn't they?
Yeah, so
they all get like 30 years or something.
Yeah, so there was a massive theatre about the whole thing. It's a really big occasion.
It was really like sensationalised.
You know, it's one of the first sort of like almost reality TV.
You're going down. You're
thing,
with Judge
like,
Judy.
Following it all the time, you know, really. Loads of details, all the newspapers, it's on the front page every day. And it was like, you know, it, from the very from when they very first robbed it and they were working out how much they'd stolen. So the first headline was like 100,000 stolen, then it was 250,000 stolen, then it was $500,000, then it was a million, then it was, you know, it was like building and building all the time.
I suppose the thing is, I think people like a good heist.
Well, it divided the nation because they had like the newsreaders were out on the street and they were saying to people, are you for or against the train robbers?
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying, yeah, I'm for it, you know, and, and good luck to
them. Well, there were them guys, not so, I think it, they tried doing the Millennium Dome a few years ago, and that was like really sophisticated. I think they had speedboats and everything ready to get these jewels that were on display, and they got caught because, but CCTV caught them because one guy went, you could go
on the tour,
and the same guy who was a known criminal was like picked up on CCTV like three or four times, but they reckon otherwise they would have
got away with it.
And you know, you like a bit of an, you know,
adventure.
Well, I think
as long as nobody gets.
Well, that's it. As long as it's sort of a victimless crime.
It's like these people who tunnel for and get cash machines. Yeah. Bit of hard work going in there, bit of sweat and blood.
I'll tell you what, I would do that if I had the ability, which I've not because I'm a slob.
But so in the build up to the trial, there was a big media hoo ha, but then it was seen as a blow to the.
Establishment
to the criminals, because the judge that was chosen to provide was from the establishment. He was Justice Edmund Davis, and he was like proper old school. He was known as being a miser, very little compassion, and he would have a massive bias against the robbers, because all his mates were like head of the government, head of the post office,
so
you know.
They're pulling the strings, and he's.
And so that was a big blow for him. But the train robbers themselves, you know, they didn't have to. Well, all but one of them didn't have to rely on sort of legal aid for help, because they all were able to pay cash up front for their
convenience.
Yeah, and the legal fees.
Well, wouldn't obviously they must have had it well stashed because of the police. I imagine if the police found a stash of cash, they could seize it.
They couldn't necessarily do it. If they took it out of the money bags and it was just in a bin bag somewhere.
Yeah,
because
in a loft.
The majority of these notes didn't have serial numbers on, so they weren't traceable, so they couldn't pin it down.
Queen's dead.
They couldn't pin it down as to where this money had come from, so... The majority of the criminals paid up front $35,000 cash.
Bloody hell.
For the QCs. Now,
it's a lot of
you think that they got they got a share of 150,000 each, more or less. So $30,000 of that's gone. So that's a fifth of the money gone on legal fees. Now, I mean, that is a massive amount of money for your legal representation. Yeah. And it didn't really help because they all got sent down. But that's besides the point at the moment. But there was one fella who did claim legal aid. Ronnie Biggs.
Why am I not surprised? The great train robber.
because his
stash would...
Maybe he couldn't access his stash. Maybe, you know, it was, you know, just out of reach. But because he was officially a builder... He didn't have any money. He got legal aid. But actually not so stupid, because they all get sent down for 30 years and he hasn't spent $30,000
on a top
barrister. So he's actually saved his money.
And then he busts out at Clink.
Yeah. The trial happens. They get found guilty. Now, the robbers themselves maintain they were fitted up. They say the police placed the placed the fingerprints.
Even though I've just paid cash for my lawyer.
But I mean, lots of people believe that was a load of bullshit, you know. And then they actually did do it. But yeah, so they all get sent down and they all get given 30 years. And at this stage, there's no parole. So basically, they're all thinking, fuck me. Mm. You know, this is 30 years.
We haven't long all.
We're here. So they've got, really, it's a life sentence.
Yeah.
They've not got any hope of getting out.
They've got no, like, use of the money, have they? So yeah, then after that, we've got people, some of the robbers escaping from prison.
Fair play, I think, for escaping.
Well, they've got, like, 30-year sentences, so they're probably thinking, Christ, I've nicked all this money.
Yeah.
And now I can't do it with it. My wife's going to be spending it, slapping it on plastic.
Put it on plastic, no, cash. Fucked. Cash in attic.
Exactly.
She'll have the biggest beehive
yeah.
in London. It'll be enormous.
A little bonnet on top.
Naturally.
So this is, I mean, Biggs up to now, not really living up to his reputation, I'm afraid.
Not at all.
But if he's busting out at credit where credit's due.
Well, he doesn't even really bust himself out. Someone throws a ladder over the wall. He just climbs up it.
He climbs up the ladder and off he goes.
Did he just escape from prison by someone chucking a ladder over?
Well, it was a furniture van. So obviously the prison officers didn't think anything was unusual about just a furniture van.
It's just a furniture van with a big ladder.
And preceding this, another one of the robbers, Charlie Wilson, also escaped from prison. Wincing
tunnel,
prison
come on.
In
tunnel.
Behab,
did he tunnel out?
No.
No.
No, he just got out, didn't he? Three-man team had broken into the prison to extricate him, so he had, like, some...
They busted out. He just busted out.
Quite literally
guns
busted.
A lot.
Yeah, and to celebrate this, breaking free from the prison, good old Charlie went for some plastic surgery in Paris.
Oh!
Yeah. I'm Ronnie Biggs.
I'm Ronnie
Biggs. Although, when you look at the picture of Ronnie Biggs...
New nose.
Like, when he
nice
was...
new pair of tits.
When you look at a photograph of Ronnie Biggs when he was like older,
how you doing
in Brazil.
I got a couple of double D's.
And when you look at a photograph of him when he was young,
yeah,
looked fucking same.
Oh yeah, they didn't do a good job.
No.
Must have gone for a cheeky. Maybe he just went to have his herbal.
The lasting memory I really have of Ronnie Biggs in like recent, I know he's dead now, like, but recent photos is he had that massive long tongue he had when he went a bit spammery towards him.
Oh, that surgery.
How unpleasant.
You were like, but a picture of him just giving these to for someone's funeral.
I mean, it's quite funny though, like, because there was such like this media frenzy and all this, when there's like all sort of mad stories that came out, and one of the stories that was that Gordon Goody when he was in prison was developing a nuclear weapon to escape with.
What?
Yeah, and that was like published in the paper.
in lab, in prison, in Wentworth Scrubs, Wordsworth Scrubs.
Jesus, you know, we've heard of some weird things, haven't we? Like, what were John Eyre doing? He was melting mice.
Turns out that wasn't true.
Gordon Goody's developing a nuclear weapon. Fuck it. Sorry, but going back to, you know, we've got a florist amongst us.
Yeah.
Friends. Ronnie Biggs didn't just escape on his own. He escaped with a wonderful chap called Eric Flower.
Brilliant.
Oh,
yeah, so him
from
and Eric Flower.
To flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ran off to Paris.
Romantic.
I know, had a bit of surgery.
Him and Flower.
Laughing. Yeah. Good old Flower.
But in the end, I think they all ended up in prison. So Buster Edwards, he submitted to the police, he gave up, he wanted to come home.
So in the end they all did, I imagine cash ran out.
Well, I don't think the cash ran out so much, it was just, I think, so like, Buster Edwards, his family wanted to come home, so he came back and submitted. Some of them got caught, what's his name, Bruce Reynolds, he got caught in 1968, I think it was, so he had the best run, I think, of 4 years later. Charlie Wilson got caught again.
Bloody hell.
In Canada. And there was only Ronnie Biggs.
Who lasted.
Lasted. He went...
He only come back for NHS.
After he broke out...
My tits are leaking.
after he broke out, he went to Australia for 4 years.
Right.
And then
well, he'd be at home with the criminals over there. That's where all crims go.
When they caught on to him in Australia, then he moved to Brazil, which was non-extradition.
Right.
And that's where he stayed.
Now, I remember reading a thing like, obviously, towards the end, he, you know, money's well and truly gone by this time. And I think Biggs was pretty much penniless.
Yeah.
Like, towards the end when he moved back. But he used to have New Year special parties at his house, and it was like 100 quid in, and it was like an evening with Ronnie Biggs, like a sportsman's dinner.
Bit weird.
He used to have like, well, you can, you know, he's a bit of a like local, like an urban legend, isn't he? You know, people who are on, used to go to Ronnie Biggs's party, go around, and he used to tell his tales of his time with the florists and with his G's.
Hey, Eric Flowers going, we've got to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of them in the end served about 10 years.
Yeah, I read that.
So,
is that all?
Out of the 30 years they were supposed to actually stay in prison.
So 10, early most release, good behaviour.
But like,
apart from building nuclear warheads, they were all quite well behaved.
There's one chap who I feel sorry for, and see, this is the thing what upsets me a bit, because there is like this, oh, they're just working class men, heroes, and all that. And there was this one guy called Billy Bowles, and he got sent down for 30 years. With the rest of the gang, because he was a friend of one of the gangs,
right.
But he wasn't actually part of the.
He didn't even have a cut.
Part of the robbery, he had no money, and he got sentenced to 30 years. And even after they're all sentenced, no one stepped forward
like,
to say
for him.
That he wasn't part of it. And he served. I think he served all his time in prison, and then he died in prison.
And still didn't have a windfall when he come out.
No, so basically they're a bit cuntish for that.
Yeah, they're all loyalty to him on the feed, unless he'd rustled some feathers.
Well, maybe you don't know. You don't know whose feathers he's been rustling.
Probably plenty in prison.
I know. Wonder if he took up his barbering again inside.
Could
you can't imagine there's much call for flower arranging.
No.
Well, you've got to pass the day somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there would be.
So, any living, surviving members of the Great Train Robbery? Are they all dead and buried now?
They're all dropping off.
One by one?
Slowly. So, Bruce Reynolds, I think he died in 2013. Mm. He was in his 80s when he died.
There's flowers up front on cover of Buster, if I remember rightly.
Is there?
Yeah.
Very.
Phil Collins with a bunch of flowers.
Very
I recommend, but it's a good film, Buster.
I mean,
I've seen it in a good few years.
A lot of them, well, not a lot of them, but some of, because after them 10 years in prison, like, that money that they had stashed, so, like, some of them had, like, 100 grand still stashed, whatever. But basically, because all the friends and families were ne'er-do-wells and fucking villains.
Gone.
They come out of prison and they fucking all money had gone.
Lifting, looking under mattress.
Yeah. And the other thing
three quid and 100 IOUs.
because this Ulster man had been round the gangs.
Nice to be nice.
Trying to get people interested. All the underworld knew that this was going down.
Yeah, yeah.
So they knew that they got all this money from what they'd seen in the newspapers. So they just robbing the robbers.
Robbing the rob.
Yeah. So.
So ultimately, a lot of the Great Train robbers, per se, a lot of them didn't really do much, Robbie Biggs. you know what I mean. They didn't really get much money at all.
No, and some of them went back.
But it made for a good story.
It made for a cracking little story.
There was one who seemed to do all right out of it. Or there was one who sticks in my mind, and that was Gordon Goody. And when he went inside, he left his money with his wife and his close family, and they protected it for him. So when he got out 10 years later...
It was still all there.
He still had his money, and he moved out to Spain and lived the sort of life of Riley, you know. So he did all right. Well, he lost 10 years, didn't he?
10 years of your life for a bloody villa in Costa del Sol and a pina colada.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's the tale.
The Great Train Robbery.
That was nice. It was interesting.
I'd like to think it was different. Slightly lighter than the topics we normally discuss.
Yeah.
You know, there was a bit of bludgeoning going on.
There was a bit of bludgeoning.
The mention of a cosh or two.
But other than that, it was all about the money.
To me, there wasn't enough murders and there wasn't enough sex in this episode. No,
there was
not enough buggery, incest.
There was far too many facts.
Too many bloody flowers.
Too much florists.
Eric.
And not enough anal.
Oh, yes, no. No.
Yeah. But they probably were, though, in the prison.
I don't know.
Let's be real.
That's what we want, the inside story.
Inside.
Oh. Literally and metaphorically.
That's sort of whenever off floor. Well, in this story, if we can pass on any insight, it's crime doesn't pay, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it certainly
doesn't. It doesn't pay, and even if it does pay, somebody else usually spends it for you.
I think the motto to this story is, if you're going to do a crime, don't involve spanners. Who fuck it up for you. Because,
yeah.
You know, you do all this careful planning. Really careful planning, and it's all going so well, and then you've got one bad egg who causes it all to go wrong.
I think there were a few bad eggs, really, weren't there?
I think they were all bad eggs.
Well, there were a few.
I think if there's my one favourite moment in the whole story, it's the guy who gets 10 grand to burn the farmhouse down
and just does what? he was the cleverest one of them all. He got the best deal of all of them.
And he wasn't even involved in it directly, was he?
Nice one. What's he called?
Mark.
Nice one, Mark.
Ah, Mark.
The fire starter. Mark the fire starter Johnson.
The not so fire starter.
Mark the legit Johnson. Hey, we should have known about you. We should have known the damn one. Have you heard his nickname? Mark the legit Johnson.
I was just wondering if Buster Edwards is dead now. He used to sell his things. Oh, yeah, he committed suicide in 1994.
Commit suicide?
Yeah.
Hell. I bet they've all got a few quid from, like, selling the stories and stuff as well. Yeah, well, a few books been written, haven't there?
Well, that Bruce Reynolds, who was, like, the main gang leader, he lost all his money from being on the run. It all got spent, like, buying fake passports and
Premier Inns
and stuff
cheap,
like that. And Premier Inn and Lenny Henry. So he made some money back consulting on books and films and documentaries and stuff like that.
Consulting.
Bit of consultancy. Bit of consultancy work.
His family still run his flower stall as well.
Do they?
Oh yeah, that's well and truly alive.
That's nice. I wonder if there's a little memorial.
Valentine's weekend.
Get yourself down.
Get yourself down, get you some flowers.
Might be a pearly king or queen knocking about.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
We can see loads of them from the windows at the London studio. And their nice brass button suits and all that. Knees up, Mother Brown.
Knees up, Mother Brown. Knees up, Brother Brown. Knees up, knees up, knees up, knees up, knees up, Brownie Brown. Shut up out there, will you? Bloody hell.
Oreo's always bringing pie and mash in, green liquor.
Get that, peaches and stars.
Fucking hell.
Peaches and pears.
They're not called peaches and pears. Apples and pears.
It's definitely apples and pears.
Apples and pears.
Peaches and pears. Peaches and pears.
I have no idea what that refers to. Being a Cockney, I should know. I know these things. I'm from bloody Acne. Somewhere like that.
Acne? Is that a skin condition?
Yeah, shut up and get me a can of Robert Mugabe out of the fridge.
Fucking hell.
Right, well, that was the Great Train Robbery. That was nice, yes. It was all very good.
So,
put us a review on iTunes if you can, because it does go a long way towards getting us up the charts, rating and reviewing.
And any cider companies, we still haven't received any sponsorship.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or a nice rosé.
Don't be shy, we will give you a plug on the show.
Send you some stickers.
Yeah.
If any listeners want to send us any cider, feel free.
Will return our underwear.
We can give you a delivery address.
Oh yeah, Oriel's had a request for underwear, which we will duly oblige.
So, yeah, David, send us your address and we'll put them in the post.
We'll be on the way to you very soon. Actually, I say that, you live miles away.
She's got him on right now.
And I think David might be our most furthest away listener, because he's in New South Wales in Australia.
Australia.
So if there's anyone further away than that, let us know.
Yeah.
But I doubt it. Unless they're in New Zealand.
So emails at thepennymarthouse@gmail.com, is it?
Something like that.
Or just go on Facebook or Twitter. The Penny Mart House, on Twitter, all that jazz. Da-da-da-ba. We're the Penny Mart House. This was lovely. Get aboard the love train.
Bye.
Night, night.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be rising for the Penny Mart House.